This is an Enterprise Times podcast today. I'm at Oracle Open World London and talking with Gretchen Alarcon, who is the Group Vice President for Human Capital Management Strategy at Oracle. Good afternoon, Gretchen.
Hello, thank you for having me.
This week, Oracle published some research that looked at emerging technologies in finance and supply chain management. These technologies are also appearing in HR tech as well. One of those technologies is AI. What difference is AI making now, and what potential does it have to offer in the future for HR?
AI is one of those areas that what we see in HR are a lot of organizations really are looking at specific projects. They're very excited about them, and they're wanting to actually bring them down into actual AI business processes. In our own research, we actually did a survey last fall and asked people how they felt about AI at work. And what we found was roughly 50% of employees said they were using some form of AI at work. 64% actually said that they would trust a robot more than their manager, which has some very interesting implications from an HR standpoint. I'd say where they see those differences is their perceptions that AI can do a much better job of doing things that are more tactical, like allocating work or setting time schedules, providing answers in terms of basic data-driven questions. But they still see a role for a manager on coaching, using empathy, making strategic decisions, that sort of a thing. So we see AI really augmenting a lot of business processes that impact employees from an HR standpoint.
Talking augmenting there, because that sounds more like automating rather than augmenting.
The way we see it is AI helps with the process. When I say augment, I'm not thinking augmented reality. I'm saying it adds to the process. So, for example, as a recruiter might have AI actually in the process showing me who are the best candidates for a job. So rather than seeing a list of 500, AI might say, here are the first five that you should really target for this position. And that's based on all the data that's in the system. And then the recruiter can continue to work with those candidates.
And what are the processes impacting?
A lot in HR. Recruiting, for sure. We see it also from a talent perspective. As I start to think about how to identify what my next career choice might be, AI might show me what the current career paths are of people who are in those roles and what are the emerging ones. So there's the structured data, but then there's the unstructured process. We also see it coming in some areas around skills. How do I abstract skills and what do I do to actually identify which skills are really having an impact within my organization?
And that career advice is less automation and more augmented intelligence, isn't it, though? So that's taking it to the next level.
It can be, yeah. So that's where we want to say, really, what is the data telling us? And for us, when we think about AI, I wanted to see AI using large amounts of data to find those themes and those threads before I have to go run a report or look at past data, and being able to do some forecasting of it as well.
What about learning management?
Definitely learning, especially when you think about what to learn. People like you, people in your role, people who are moving into similar careers, these are the types of programs they're taking, these are the courses they're taking. That's a great opportunity for AI to give that guidance. And then again, the human makes the decision on what they're actually going to participate in.
I'm sure you covered in your research, was it future work? There is the kind of fear factor for AI taking over roles or changing roles, certainly. What's your viewpoint on that?
I think that what we're going to see is AI is going to start to add to the process and hopefully free up some of the work. In fact, when you talk to people in the survey around how do they feel about this, I don't think there's that fear factor there in the same way that maybe it's come across in some media, because their expectation is that it's going to really take those things that are regimented, process-driven, don't require as much higher-order thinking, that frees up the leader to do other things. So I think that's a positive.
You're talking more about the HR leader response.
Or the manager as well.
Who have roles within their own rights anyway, in a sense.
Exactly.
What about work on unconscious bias?
That's an area that we see a lot of people having concern about. When you start to add in AI, it's a question that gets raised. The way I look at it, there are two questions there. One is, what data is being captured? And as we design our processes, we're very careful around, let's not bring in any personally identifiable information, anything that leads to protected classes, that sort of thing. But then the other part about it is, I have an expectation that there will always be a human making the decision. So AI might get you from a list of 500 down to 100, but the actual decision to hire is still taken by a human. From that standpoint, we know that we can have that oversight to make sure that we're not seeing bad behaviors reinforced.
Is Oracle working on anything in your conscious bias? Because there are some tools out there that look at, say, documentation to understand, okay, is this job advert, for example, is this naturally biased towards a certain type of candidate?
Right now, what we're doing in that area is actually partnering in a couple cases where we can bring that information in and say, how can we use that? We're not really developing those tools today. Don't say we won't in the future, but certainly right now, our focus really more is on the data and how can we make sure that we're measuring the data appropriately.
One of the other areas the ESG studies looked at was blockchain, and I'm seeing blockchain in HR, especially in credentials and certifications. Is that the only use, or are you seeing it in other areas as well?
Blockchain is a very interesting one for us because a lot of our customers really haven't asked for it to date. I think it's an area that's been under exploration. The use cases, the primary use case that we have heard is credentials, especially if you are in areas where it's difficult to prove work has been done. We have seen some schools, some universities say they would like to have the ability to apply blockchain for degrees and to prove that someone's taken certain coursework, that sort of a thing. The other area that we have seen a couple use cases for, again, I wouldn't say it's a trend yet, has to do with anything around benefits or personally identifiable information. If I'm coming back from leave and I need to provide a doctor's note, that might be something that I would actually want to provide through blockchain because I only want to release it for a certain use.
What about payments?
Well, I haven't seen that many use cases for it today. Payroll just kind of seems to run.
The third thing, digital assistants and chatbots has been seen in HR, but what's the state of that today?
There's wild enthusiasm about digital assistants across the board. This is an area, actually, that I've seen a lot of our customers really respond to positively because they see it as a way to change the interaction model for HR and change the perception that employees have of HR systems. The way a lot of them are starting is to say, what are the tier zero questions that today might go to the HR service desk? You know, the most common ones are, I forgot my password, did I get paid, can I take a leave, I'd like to give feedback, can I find this person in the directory? Those are all things that really don't need a human conversation because they're very transactional. So if I could start that in a digital assistant and just get my question answered, how great is that? Or if a digital assistant can then be my pathway into a transaction. So maybe I start the question around, can I take leave? But then I actually want to go ahead and log that transaction. The digital assistant can be my starting point to actually go into the HR system and continue forward.
What about the handoff? Because that's quite an important aspect, isn't it, in terms of from the digital assistants to the human, because people like that to be quite smooth.
That's where we see a lot of organizations thinking about what is that next step? Is it that the digital assistant says, all right, you've gone beyond my capacity, I think you should log a case. Or you've gone beyond my capacity, here's a link to the policy document, we recommend you call the HR help desk number. Making sure that they don't get stopped is a really key point there. The other thing that has come up with digital assistants that I find really interesting is organizations questioning what cultural statement they're making about their culture with a digital assistant. What's the name that they give a digital assistant? Is it Alexa? Is it Siri? How do you name it? I have one organization who ends every digital assistant interaction with a quote from their founder because they want to reinforce their commitment to customers and they are a very founder-driven organization. It's an opportunity not just to talk about ease of use, but also to talk about what values and what culture they're trying to set up as well.
Most digital assistants are text-based at the moment, and they've got natural language processing. But are you seeing people experiment with voice interaction yet? And how far have we gone down that route?
We actually have voice delivered with ours, and we see a lot of interest in it. We deliver both because, frankly, sometimes, especially when you're talking to the Gen Zs, they can text faster than they can talk. There's a question of which way they prefer. It's really a question there of, I don't want the interaction model to get in the way of what you're trying to accomplish. Voice is really a key component for us. Having that interaction really helps people move forward.
Do you see any cultural differences across the world on that?
I haven't really measured that yet. I'd be interested to see. Right now, the question we have been asking is it generational? Are people more likely to talk or more likely to text? But we haven't really looked at anything from a global study on that yet.
Augmented reality and virtual reality, has that touched on HR yet? It's quite interesting because it's in supply chain very firmly at the moment, but finance, no use cases at all.
The closest areas we've seen it come in have really had to do more with training. We have a number of organizations where they need to teach people how to take certain action in a rough situation. I was working with a utility company, and they had to talk about how you train someone to deal with a downed power line. You're obviously not going to do that in reality, but they wanted to do it. They actually looked at augmented reality to say, how closely can I make this look and feel like what you would actually experience in the middle of a storm? That's a good opportunity where augmented reality can come in. I've also seen a couple organizations exploring showing people what a job actually would be like. Exploring taking a job in a call center, let us show you during the recruitment process what that actually might look like through an augmented reality or a virtual reality scenario, so you can really assess if this is the job for you.
Do you put that into onboarding yet as well?
Right now, I haven't seen as many use cases in that. It's really been more the learning and the recruiting processes.
The last piece they picked up was around IoT. How is IoT affecting HR?
I see it happening in certain areas. Certain industries, certain areas see more of a value with that. Certainly when we get into organizations that come more from a manufacturing or more from a engineering construction, some of those sorts of organizations really are looking more in that direction because they are so used to interacting with machines and with humans, and that's just their symbiotic. That's where we see more of those, but again, it's not across all industries at this point.
To what purpose in those industries?
Again, it comes back to training. It comes back to tying in information. One of the areas that we have explored with a couple customers is if you're thinking about workforce health and safety and you have a safety incident, there's the moment where you have the incident, you want to log what happened, you want to measure what happened this day, but then you also want to bring in all the data on the machine that the incident happened on. You know, when was it last serviced? Are there any flaws in that process that could be considered? And then what about the human that was operating it? Had they been trained? When was their last test? Were they certificated? All that coming together to really understand and make sure that this incident isn't repeated.
That's kind of the integration of health and safety, which is an HR responsibility, into the business operation, isn't it, really? What about wellness?
Wellness is an interesting one. We actually delivered a number of years ago a wellness application. It actually started when people were first starting to measure. It was before the iWatch came out. Everyone was using their Fitbit or their Garmin to track their steps. When we started exploring it, I said, well, if you're going to be doing that, there's a huge HR implication here. Because you've made a commitment to your health. For many organizations, showing commitment to a health program leads to reductions in insurance costs, so it's actually a cost measurement savings. And then there's an overall employee well-being piece here as well. That approach we introduced in My Wellness product to focus in that area. One of the other areas we've been starting to explore with a couple customers is what about the impact of stress and how we can start to measure that into decisions on your shift. So if you are someone who works in heavy lifting, something like that, and we start to measure your stress, maybe from your watches, checking your pulse rate, something like that, and then we could say, okay, you know what, you seem to be having a difficult day. Maybe this would be a time to take your break early. We'll adjust your schedule so you can actually have more rest today. We're not there yet with that, frankly, because we're still trying to figure out which device is the best one to use for that. But there are several use cases like that that we've had with under exploration with some customers.
It sounds like My Wellness hasn't quite taken off either.
Well, My Wellness from the steps and the tracking that sort of health has, it's the other elements beyond really the exercise component that I think people are still exploring.
Wearables has been talked about for quite a few years now, but hasn't really made it into the consumer mainstream, let alone the business mainstream yet. Do you think there's potential there as well? And if so, what?
What we have to think about when we think about wearables is, are we going to go to some sort of bring-your-own-device type of methodology? Because I wear an iWatch, you have a Garmin. We both want to have some sort of framework for tracking this information. And I need to bring all of that into HR. How am I going to do that? So that's an area that we're still exploring.
What about things like timekeeping? I've got this ID badge at the moment, but if you have a work ID badge, and I'm sure all employees wear, the idea of having that as a wearable device that when you arrive in the office, lock it, you're automatically clocked in, it does the timekeeping. If you've got face recognition, you can identify people. There are people working on that kind of technology. Is that something that Oracle is looking at and developing?
At this point, I would say it's in the early research stages. What we found with that is a number of interesting use cases that we're still trying to decide what the right direction is to go. Certainly the question of, do I clock in and out with my badge has come up. We have had some use cases in healthcare where, what if the person's gloved up and they need to move to a different location and they have a pay differential if they're moving from one department to another, we don't want them reaching for their badge. So how else could we do that? Is it their phone? Is it something else? Maybe it just reads the badge, but they don't have to actually hold it up to the scanner. We've done some research in those areas. I think there are some customers who are exploring it. The real question there becomes more one of what's the viability and what's the tool that needs to come across. And what we'd like to do really in those situations is say, we want to focus on the software element more so than what is the device that is being used for doing the clocking. That's where we're kind of drawing the boundaries right now.
Gretchen, thank you very much.
Thank you.